Great to have you with us in the Fast Lane, BT, Ranj, and Randy. And as you know, The Athletic is fabulous, and the people that work for The Athletic are generally exceptionally knowledgeable, except apparently for the people that rate hockey jerseys. Jeremy Rutherford is with us now on 101 ESPN. And JR, I don't know who these people are, but the NHL hockey jerseys were ranked by The Athletic, and they ranked the Blues as the 29th best jersey in the league. Somebody named Ed Malion apparently has no clue about and I'm colorblind, and I know that the Blues are way above 29. They're top five, and by the way, he's got Detroit 5 and Toronto 1. Those two are both bottom five in the league.
Oh, I don't know, Ed. I got to admit this, but I'm going to have to pass the message along that he got this one wrong. Hey, and I spend my entire career trying not to be a homer for the St. Louis Blues, even though I grew up here in St. Louis and was a Blues fan early on before I got a job as a journalist. But I have to say that it's definitely top five. One of the best logos in the business, and the jerseys over the years, with the exception of a couple years, have been fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know how or why they came up with this, but the editors at The Athletic should take a look at this too.
are you calling for somebody's job
that's
right
what
now?
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
yep.
just happened.
Wow.
Yeah. JR, times are tough, man. Randy can't be headhunting right now, can he?
No, he's fired up about this, and he always has been over the years. He's a uniform guy.
Yeah. By the way, Predators at 7, that's trash, because those things are garbage.
Really,
no offense.
Yikes. Yeah, and that one doesn't go back very far either, so not a lot of tradition there.
No. Hey, who is your outside of the Blues? And we'll move on from the jerseys, I promise. Do you have another favorite and then your all-time worst?
Yikes. I don't know if I can say this one on the air. Are we still on the air?
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, JR, I think we can all agree that Nashville's baby poop green was the worst, right?
It's awful. In those yellow helmets, too, gold, yeah. Whatever you want to call it, just awful. Guys, I hate to say it. I've been playing NHL 20 with my son, and he always wants to be the Blues, and I've been the Blackhawks here lately because of the sweater. Should I duck right now?
No, I don't disagree with you. The one good thing that you can say about the Chicago Blackhawks is that they have a good sweater.
I really do like it. I really do. So that's one of my favorites. And, I hate to repeat what we were just saying, but I think that Nashville sweater, to me, is bottom on the list. Over the years, trying to think here, you know, I'm going to sound like a broadcaster here trying to figure out the names and numbers on the backs of the sweaters, but the only ones that I just really despise are, you know, the dark ones. It seems like there's been a trend the last number of years where, you know, everything on the jersey is dark, and it's hard to read, especially when you got my old eyes trying to read it from the press box.
Who was it that had I think a couple of teams. Oh, Tampa Bay. I know a lot of people did not like them, but I liked that alternate where everything was black. Like, I thought it was kind of sharp, but I know a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah, so you're disagreeing with me is what you're doing.
Yeah, I am disagreeing with you on that one. But I will agree with that piece that the Ducks uniform is the worst. I hate Anaheim's uniform. I think it looks terrible.
We're talking about the current one? Or Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Bad. Hey, okay, yeah. JR, I know you're just a strict hockey guy. But are you interested in The Last Dance, and have you been watching it all?
I've watched every single minute of it. We had to send the kids out of the room last night, Dennis Rodman dropping a few F-bombs, right?
ESPN 2 has the clean version.
Yeah, there's a clean version on the deuce.
Oh, did they? Okay. Well, we had the regular one on last night and had to hit the remote and say, all right, time for bed. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I got to tell you, I said this to my wife last night. You guys might do the same thing. I do watch things from the content perspective, what they're putting on the air. It's great. But as a writer who tries to think about stories and how you sculpt stories, I like to watch documentaries like this one from the standpoint of how do they start it? How do they get moving? How do they keep the pace going? How do they move into a different storyline? And I think they've done a pretty good job with this one. And then the content has just been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you're going to Vegas with Dennis Rodman. And then you're having Michael Jordan call Isaiah Thomas an a-hole. So, I mean, what else could you expect there?
Where's the lie? Where's the lie in that?
There's one.
I don't know. Did you guys see they had Isaiah Thomas all over ESPN today giving his response? And you can tell the relationship isn't too sweet.
No. JR, speaking of content, I know you and Mark Saxon are working on a story about covering sports during this time without sports.
Yeah, fun one. It should be out tomorrow. Mark and I sat down today and just kind of went back and forth. And we get asked a lot of questions. What's it like covering the team, behind the scenes, dealing with players? You write something negative about a player, and then you see him in the locker room the next day. What's that like? And so I used a couple examples, you know, writing about the Blues leadership group and then, you know, having a chance to sit down with a guy like Alex Pietrangelo and talk to him about it. So those types of stories are in this piece tomorrow. But basically, we just kind of go back and forth and write about our experiences as beat writers for the two big teams in town.
I think that's going to be really interesting. I think a lot of times we end up just reading stuff and don't realize kind of how you get there. So I'm looking forward to that one. Hey, JR, I want to spin back just a second, back to the idea of the last dance. And the Bulls-Pistons was hit on a ton during there. And there was just, like, hate. I mean, back to the Isaiah Thomas, right? Just hate. Everybody hated everybody. You were coming out of that thing bloodied, whether you were on the winning side or the losing side. Spinning that to hockey, man, what is the rivalry that you love? And Blues can be included in this. They cannot. This could be a long time ago. Like when was what is the rivalry that comes to mind for you?
Well, Randy's going to like this one. You know, as much as Blues Blackhawks has been a rivalry for a long time, you know, there was a stretch there where Blues Detroit was just off the charts. And it might not be from the perspective of the Red Wings and, you know, Mike Babcock. I remember one time he said, "What rivalry? We don't think that's a rivalry." But I know that among the fans it was. And it was pure hatred. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I don't think we see that as much, not just in the NHL, but in pro sports today, as much as we did back then with the Bulls and the Pistons and the Blues and the Detroit Red Wings. And, of course, there are other rivalries there too, Brad. Today, and Ken Hitchcock has told us this, talking to reporters before, you know, all these players know each other. They grow up playing with each other. They're in all these national tournaments. They're teammates for these international competitions. And, you know, that hatred just isn't there. And also, you know, their careers are just so important because there's money to be made that nobody wants to hurt anybody. So it's pretty interesting how across the board you just don't see that blood boil as much as you used to.
Well, maybe to Detroit, they may not have seen the Blues as a huge rivalry like we did to them, as you mentioned. I wonder if it's because, this is because of the fact that they stood in the way of the Blues, you know, getting to the Stanley Cup final and getting, you know, and winning. And I look at to me, even though I hated the Red Wings more, I look at them the same way I look at the Atlanta Braves from the 90s, who were always standing in the Cardinals' way. So maybe Braves fans didn't see that as a rivalry, but I sure as hell did, and I figure a lot of people kind of feel the same way about Detroit.
Yeah, I think there's something there, too, and it's not to reference a story I wrote a couple days ago, but I look back at a bunch of old Blues commercials, and I interviewed Jim Woodcock, who was the VP of marketing back at the time, and he did those commercials, and I just thought that was a funny anecdote. There was a commercial, you guys might remember it, Tyson Nash, Reed Lowe, Jamal Mayers, Bryce Salvador, where they're all sitting at a bar, and they notice some fans there, and they go up to them and get them chanting, "Let's go Blues," and Tyson Nash says, "That's a great chant." Well, the original chant for that commercial was supposed to be "Red Wings, Chicken Wings," which is what they were saying at the Savas Center at that time. But Jim Woodcock had to step in and said, "Guys, we can't get past these guys in the playoffs. So I don't know that we should be saying this in a commercial like this." So they actually changed it from "Red Wings, Chicken Wings" to "Let's Go Blues" during the making of the commercial.
That's a beautiful thing. It's crazy. Hey, hopefully we'll get back sooner rather than later. One last thing. What do you think of the possibility of St. Louis being one of the four pods if indeed the league decides to go with that system?
Yeah, I think they're interested. I think they've, like a lot of teams, made their pitch. You see what St. Louis has done with the Stanley Cup Finals and the All-Star Game hosting them. Everybody I've talked to at the league the past couple of years just raves about the job that the Blues have done and the city's done in hosting, so they know what the Blues have to offer. But I think it's going to come down to geography and some other things before they decide on what cities they're going to go to. So to me, I think St. Louis is definitely in the mix, maybe not a front runner, but things could change as we've seen things change the past couple weeks and months with all their planning.
JR, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
That is our Blues Insider from The Athletic, Jeremy Rutherford. And, of course, you can read his work at theathletic.com and follow him on Twitter at JP Rutherford. Next up, the virtual NFL draft was a rousing success. We'll talk about maybe they should do it again next on 101 ESPN.